Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who has begun this good work in us bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy Jesus.
Please rise. The Holy Scripture reading for today is written in St. Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 34, and we read together. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is the Gospel lesson from St. Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 34. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so how are you this evening? How are things going? What kind of baggage are you bringing with you here this evening in this sanctuary? What are you personally struggling with right now, or maybe have been struggling with for some time? Or maybe you can see a little bit into the future and you know what's coming. How would you characterize your relationship with the Lord this evening? How would you characterize your relationship with God's people, the church, pilgrim? How are things going with your battle with sin? Has it got the best of you? Or do you struggle and overcome? Are you ready to die tonight? If Jesus Christ were to come back today, this evening, would you run to him, or would you shrink from him because of the life that you're living, because of the sin, the lifestyle that you've decided to embrace? Have you made the teachings of Jesus your priority, the most important thing in your life? Or is he second, third, or maybe way down at the bottom of the list? And how do you hope that you will feel when this service is over and you're walking back to your car, get back in, and off to your house you go? What exactly is next? I suppose that those are far too many probing questions at one time. And I guess I need to be transparent. As I began to write the sermon for this evening, I put all kinds of questions down, and I had to get rid of a lot of them, a bunch of them. And I prayed. I asked the Lord, please, whatever questions I choose this evening, may they strike where they need to strike for the people who will actually show up for Good Friday service. And with that, I ask these questions to really raise an issue with you this evening, and that issue is this: the relevancy of everything here tonight, of Good Friday, of why we're here. Why are we here this evening, and why will we come back here over and over again? Or maybe we'll just come tonight and maybe drift along and never come back for a long time afterward. Paul writes in the book of Colossians these words: if then you have been raised with Christ, indeed brought to life, born again, if you believe in him, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, ruling the universe for our salvation. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. Have you? Have you died to this place? Have you died to your sin? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, Paul writes. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, in the revelation of pure love, of everything that is in Jesus. You see, the bottom line is that our focus is to be directed toward the one thing needed. Do you believe that? That there's only one thing that's really needed when it's all said and done? And that's Jesus. But boy, it's hard for us, isn't it? It shouldn't be, but yet it is. So hard for us to really set our minds on things above when there's so much down here, so many things, so many distractions, cell phones and computers and social media and on it goes. We could make a list as long as the questions at the beginning of the sermon. But we find ourselves in the reality down here frequently feeling miserable, regardless of what we try so desperately to chase after, thinking about things perhaps that we shouldn't be thinking about at all, one struggle after another as if we got the jackpot there, just keeps coming. And perhaps drifting away from the Lord from time to time, or maybe just simply all the time. Sinful desires that torture us. We want to be rid, as Christian people, of the thoughts, the desires that frequently we find going on within our very souls. And with that, of course, then there's anxiety, depression, anger at the self, downcast, death. It's always there. And what about our relationship with our Lord Jesus? Sometimes it sure does seem to be rocky. We want someone perhaps to take it all away, and it just won't go away. And with a loud voice, our voice, we cry. Maybe not always outside, but inside. We cry a lot. We cry in all kinds of ways. Please just take it away. Please fix it. Please help me. This is far too much for me to bear. I can't take it another day. It's overwhelming. Everything's a mess. I'm not the person that I should be. I just want some relief and some reassurance, perhaps, that it's going to be okay. Yes, with a loud voice, our voice. Even when life might be generally going well, as it does from time to time, there's always that dark cloud, isn't there? There's always the valley, the shadow of sin and death everywhere we go. The best days tainted, touched, always by something. Certainly a lot of sorrow. We may not say it on the outside, but if people could look perhaps through the window into us, well, then they would see the truth. They would see the truth that maybe things aren't as great as we oftentimes try to pretend they are. They're not as great as the way in which we try to convince other people as they are. With a loud voice, we cry. And we cry a lot, don't we? Well, we haven't even scratched the surface, but we are brought to our text for this evening. And there we have this incredible record that makes all of the difference in the world. It takes us to what tonight is all about, what Good Friday is all about. Listen very carefully to these words. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" in the physical world of Jesus, there is. Even reaching his own eyes there at the cross, the darkness hits. An incredible darkness for 3 hours, which points to the reality of what all life has become in this world that in the very beginning was once called very good. It is no longer very good. It's very bad. Miserable. Torturous for Jesus. Pointing to the utter darkness, the reality of the punishment that we just cannot possibly fully comprehend. All of what we cry about is due to our rebellion. The consequences of what we have become and everything that we do in the course of this life. And all roads lead straight to hell, which is the final consummation of all that we have brought upon ourselves and cry about continuously in this life. Poured into the loud voice of Jesus Christ on the cross is our loud cry. It is the loud cry of the down here and everything that goes with it in this fallen world. And with it is what is yet to be cried in hell. Let me say that again. Poured into the loud voice of Jesus on the cross is our loud cry. The loud cry of the down here and the yet to be cried pains of hell itself. On the one hand, it's most frightening to consider all of that, to realize what it is that Jesus Christ is going through on that cross. Because the cry of Jesus is all of us at once. The people before us and the people who may follow us. Crying everything that we have cried or forever will cry. In the words of our Lord and Savior, it's all made so very clear when he says those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus hangs there, forsaken by the Father. And this is perplexing because he doesn't deserve to be forsaken at all. He is the perfect Son of God who has lived a perfect life. The Father has declared that he is pleased with him on numerous occasions. So why does Jesus count himself forsaken by the Father? That's the question. And when you get the answer to that question, then you understand exactly what's going on. And the prophet Isaiah answers it beautifully for us. He writes, by oppression and judgment he, the Savior, was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Indeed, who among us considers that he was stricken for the transgression of people? And that's you and me. That's why he was struck. And it was the will of the Father to strike him with all of our sin, with every cry, with hell itself, for the past, the present, and the future. And there you have the answer for Jesus' question. Forsaken for you, for me. Dr. Arthur A. Just, in one of his commentaries, makes the following observation, and you won't want to miss it. He writes, as Jesus, the source of life and light, dies. The sun, the source of natural light, fails to carry out its divine mandate to distinguish between night and day, darkness and light, and to rule over the day. Instead, day and night are confused, confounded, and darkness usurps the rule of the sun as evil reigns over good, at least temporarily. Creation's bondage to sin and the curse of death, which Jesus had been absorbing into his flesh since his conception and bearing with him publicly since his baptism, is now completely laid upon him to do its destructive work. All demon possession, all sickness, all sin, all death, all hell is now placed on him. That certainly brings a lot of meaning to those words that are applied to Jesus. With a loud voice, he cries. He cries our cry, and he does so that we might have the most beautiful understanding of it that could be possible. Jesus, hanging from the cross, crying for us with our loud cry, is so that our cries may ultimately come to an end. That all tears that we shed in this life, all of the grief, all of the baggage, all of the pain, you name it, every sin, every consequence, might be ripped away from us, taken away, thrown away, remembered no more. All because of what Jesus does here at Calvary. Everything turned upside down. Everything appears to be confused. Our darkness, you see, touches Jesus, who is light, so that his light may touch our darkness and take it away. Take it away forever. That's the gift. Thus the sun returns. Thus the sun returns, so that it may shine again, so that we may know that Jesus Christ indeed has done it. That every single one of our sins, no matter how great, no matter how terrible they may be, is forgiven, pardoned. And with that, all of the consequences that go with it, the greatest consequence of all, of course, being death, which is a portent of the reality of hell, that even is also taken away, so that the Christian who believes in Jesus Christ doesn't even qualify as tasting death, but lives and has the promise of being raised from the dead. What then will you feel? What then will you forever feel to replace the loud cries of today? In Jesus, pure joy. And I don't believe we have any idea as to what that might mean. Pure joy, uninterrupted. Nothing to bother it. No glimmer of a thought that somehow stops it. And what will you think about? How about green pastures, still waters, and eternal possibilities? Possibilities that you and I really can't even begin to imagine in the kingdom of heaven, where everything is right. And the Lord says, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So why are you here tonight? And
What is life lived well in the context of the Lord? Well, Paul gives you the answer in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. And it is my prayer that when this service is over, that you will find the peace in knowing that your loud cry was given to Jesus so that you might not have to cry forever. He cried out all of our pain so that we might rejoice and give thanks. And what's next? What's next? Everything in Jesus. And that's what makes this Friday so very, very good. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, we are most privileged and blessed that we can once again, on this holy night, stand before the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there we can recall the spit, the beating, the whipping, the thorns, the hatred, and the blood that poured out of his body on the Roman cross. We can see the hatred of your sin, of our sin, before you. His cry reminds us that this would be our cry without him, that we would enter into unending darkness and burning and forever scream and cry because we are sinful humans and our sin, none of it is acceptable to you. We cannot fully fathom this, Lord God, but we get an incredible picture of it this night once again. And at the same time, we see on that cross our Lord Jesus Christ and your love for us through him, Christ's willingness to bear our punishment that we would never, ever have to see, the pain and suffering of unending, burning hell. Thank you. We thank you and praise you because you, Lord Jesus Christ, are truly the Lamb of God who has removed our sin from us. And you promise us that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. Those words roll off our tongues very easy, and yet they mean everything. We spend so much of our lives struggling and battling to get what we can out of this world. And time and again, we are reminded that it will all go away. It will all change. But what you have given us in Jesus never will. We thank you and we do praise you from our hearts that we can leave here, go to bed, get up tomorrow, and know that we belong to you forever. Thank you. Praise you. We ask that you be with us in these days to come in this world that grows darker and uglier day by day. Help us to walk with you. Help us to see above this world and to know that in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we are loved, dearly loved, forever forgiven, and that we have eternal life. And that changes everything. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus, for your love. We ask this in your name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take away the sin of the world. Mercy on us.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.